Hello and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I am Noah, and I am, as always, joined by...
Kayla.
We're back in action, doing another Cinema Swap episode.
Yeah, our third.
We had Cool Hand Luke and Phantom Thread was the first.
Mm-hmm.
And then Game Night and Breakfast Club was the second.
So far, we've been pretty mildly successful, I'd say.
Yeah, I think the people like them, you know? They feel like we've gotten good feedback from the zero people we get feedback from. So it's going good. I like these episodes because I think they're... Well, we do one thing on them that we don't do on any other ones, where we don't share our opinions to each other before the episode starts. So really, yeah. We never know exactly where the episode is going to go in these.
It could go either way.
Like, it could go into debate territory or adoration territory.
Yeah,
you never
and
know.
This one, which we'll get into, but this was the first one that I was a little more, like, you know, I branched out a little more with my pick here.
Right.
Because the past ones, I feel like we've been pretty good at keeping it things that we're pretty sure the other person will like. I mean, because that's the fun of it as well, but...
Right. You don't want to pick something the other person is obviously going to hate.
Yeah, so to explain how this works, we each choose a movie that we have seen that the other co-host has not seen to basically introduce the movie to them and hope that they'll like it and, you know, all those good things.
Similar to, like, our We've Never Seen series... It, so far has gotten us to see some movies, you know, that were a bit bigger that, you know, we hadn't been exposed to yet.
Yeah, we try to pick things that are, you know, well known, at least up to this point.
The farther we go into it, we might have to get a little into more, like, obscure territory, but who knows? Right now, these are both pretty big movies, so.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, so let's jump right into it with your first pick. So this is the one that I had to watch, even though we both, like, watched both of them, so.
Yeah. So I picked Legally Blonde, the 2001 comedy classic. Do we want to do a synopsis before I talk about why I picked this movie, or?
Sure. Should you read the synopsis, or should I?
Like... Yeah, I'll read it.
Okay, all right.
Elle Woods has it all. Oh, I should do it, like, dramatic. Elle Woods has it all. Not only is she a fashion merchandising student and president of Delta Nu at California University, Los Angeles, but she is expecting a proposal from future Harvard Law student Warner Huntington III. However, there is just one thing stopping him from popping the question. She is too blonde. Blindsided by this news, Elle puts a last-ditch effort and rallies all of her resources to get into Harvard, determined to win the love of her life back.
Fantastic. Thank you to Google for providing that synopsis, and I edited it, so, you know, Google gave a jumping-off board, and I took that and ran
Congrats.
With it, you know.
Yeah, it was good. Cool, so I'll explain why I picked this movie. Basically, I went through some movies that I like and ones that you hadn't seen. It comes down to that. I knew what you were picking, which was kind of a little... I had a couple different options to go with, and yours was a little more of a drama. So I didn't want to also pick a drama and just have it be a downer
Smart.
Episode. I mean, not a downer episode, but have the whole thing be serious. So I that was what made me end up going with this one. Also, so one of the other reasons I picked it is one, like, it's a really good feel-good movie. Like, it's one of those comfort movies that you can kind of come back to and enjoy, watch with friends, have a good time. I think it's funny. I laugh at it. I, you know, make jokes from it. Anytime I see it on the internet, you know, memes, I'm like, wow, love to see it. The 20th anniversary was 11 days ago from today, I guess, which wasn't even planned. But maybe it was also just in my mind a little bit because I was seeing, you know, tweets and such about it. And it's got one of the good old Wilson brothers in it.
Of course.
And I know that you like him, and so I was like, well, that'll be at least one win, at least. Is that...
That's funny.
Noah likes Luke Wilson.
I also feel like these movies, like, they're even beyond the 20th anniversary, they're still, like, even more than something like Mean Girls or some other like similar cult classic. Clueless is another one where this one like continues to put out stuff based on it. Like there was the sequel, the musical.
Well, and a new one is supposedly being made as well. So
right. So who knows? Maybe we'll do like a whole episode on the trilogy. Yeah, see how it all pans out. Well, you never know. Yeah, cool.
Great. Well, let's jump in and chat
about
it. Let's
jump into the review. So I hadn't seen this, obviously. It wasn't like or that I didn't want to see it. It's kind of like I feel like most of these things that we haven't seen that we end up talking about on the podcast. It's just one of those things that we usually just haven't got around to. And the more you put it off, the harder it is to kind of like get yourself in gear to watch it. It wasn't like something that I felt pressured to like, because even though I think recently there has been a lot more appreciation for the movie, I don't think like it's like a certified cult classic like Mean Girls or Clueless, where those ones have like huge fan bases behind them. This one still has fans, but it was just a little less pressure going into it than maybe something a little more cult classic would have been. So yeah, I watched it on Netflix and I really liked it. I like this movie a lot.
Yay, that's good. I thought that you would. And it had been over a year probably since I had watched it. This is one of those like rewatch movies. But I mean, I remember it pretty well, but just like thinking about it, I was like, I think I'll like it, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And then as mm-hmm. I was watching it with my parents the other night, I was like, oh yeah, he'll totally like this.
Yeah.
I just was thinking that as I was watching it.
I mean, I don't know if you know this about me, but I am all for courtroom dramas. If I could, I will watch any courtroom drama. My biggest dream in life is to be summoned for jury duty. I don't know why I haven't gotten summoned for jury. I don't do anything. I don't know anything going on. So I'd be a perfect jury member. I think I would be perfect. But I really love courtroom drama. So.
And it's fun courtroom scenes, too.
It's like, the best kind of
courtroom
stuff. It's
the kind that, like, never happens in real life, but is, like, so dramatic and super fun.
Yes. It's kind of like the opposite of the trial of the Chicago 7, where that was like, how boring can you make a courtroom drama?
Yeah, exactly.
And this was, how fun can you make a courtroom drama?
Yeah.
That was kind of the vibe I was getting. Yeah, this movie slaps. I think this is, I haven't seen Mean Girls in a bit, but I recently watched Clueless, and I liked this a lot more than Clueless. I think it's aged a lot better than those movies.
Yeah.
There's a few things that, like, felt a little bit dated. Like, oh, I don't know if that would have flown today. Probably would have changed maybe the delivery of this joke. But for the most part, I thought, like, it seemed like it's aged pretty well. Which is really impressive for a movie that came out 20 years ago. A comedy movie.
Yeah.
That's rated PG-13. There's a lot of those that just haven't aged well. So that really surprised me about this.
Yeah.
What's some of your favorite aspects of this movie? What about Reese Witherspoon?
Oh, she's
great.
The
iconic performance.
Oh, she's so cool. She's so fun. She's perfect for this role. She does it great. She's just the kind of person that you're like, I'm intimidated by her, but I would love to be friends with her and like hang out with her character. One thing I like about it is like at the surface, it's this super kind of funny, like it has a lot of different kinds of comedy. There's a lot of slapstick comedy in with, you know, the lady standing up and hitting the guy's nose, the UPS guy's nose. Like there's little things like that that are funny and obviously jokes and humor that works really well. But then they also have like a lot of more serious themes that are being dealt with, you know, her and her relationship with this sort of mean girl, and then her feeling rejected by this guy that she thought she was going to be with, and then, you know, all the stuff with the sexual assault and, like, all that, and morally, like, being bound to your client and having good ethics as a lawyer instead of being kind of a scummy lawyer, I think is also all good themes to have.
Yeah, I think what was really good about this movie, beyond the comedic aspects, just like looking at maybe the more dramatic aspects, is it did a really good job of giving the viewer the experience of like being a blonde girl at law school. Like For me, that's like the farthest from me that you could be. So I think it did a really good job, especially like at the beginning, establishing that she was smart and like you can, she is like an interesting character. And then you follow her throughout the movie, like get all these accomplishments and you're cheering for her. You're like, yeah, you did it. And then with the sexual assault aspect, you feel like exactly what she's feeling like. So did this just happen to her because she's blonde, like she said? Like, I think they did a really good job of showing the audience like all her achievements and making you really emotionally connect with her story and want to see her succeed. And then you get the experience of her like wondering, did she just get all this because the guy like wanted to sleep with her? And I think that is like one of the main things, is like how she is being perceived, and she doesn't want to be perceived as just like this stupid like girl that's isn't serious about anything and isn't smart. And I think they did a great job like just getting you to really understand that dilemma that she has.
Yeah, and I love too that like she had that sort of emotional breakdown, and then that lady professor who was like the hard ass was like,
yeah, that was great.
You're better than that. Like, you can't let him dictate your life. Like, you can still do it. And I was like, wow, we love that. Women standing for women.
Well,
like,
that was like a theme, even with the girlfriend, like you thinking that these women are going to be the quote unquote villains of the story. And then they turn out and they come around, and now they're all this big gang of empowered women, and they're just going to court.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I liked that. It was good subversion.
And I like that it doesn't say that she has to give up all of that either. Like, mm-hmm. that they're like, you know, putting forth the message that she can be pretty and she can have fun and she can dress up and be herself and still have these things. And she can still be a successful lawyer and still, you know, succeed in academics despite what others think. Because I think a lot of times in society, we get the message that you have to be one or the other. And I think that for a 2001 movie is pretty on the nose, because I think, you know, a lot of young girls that watch this can be like, wow, I can, you know, still be pretty and, you know, hold my own and be who I want to be, but also I can do all these other great things as well, working hard and achieving success.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I think, I mean, obviously, as we know, the outfits and the hairstyles and everything are a big part of this movie, and I like how they continue to be a part of the movie, and it doesn't do the thing where, like, she starts dressing more professionally, and then she, like, just looks like a regular lawyer. Like, the whole movie, she kept being herself, and she kept going back to the nail salon, doing what she loved, while also, like, achieving her dreams of being a lawyer.
And I also love, 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 love that they had a good male romance interest, but they didn't make that the central part of the story. Like, they mm-hmm. still made it about her character arc, because they could have easily, like, you know, apart from just an end title sequence that's like, oh, they've been dating, they're gonna get engaged. Like, they could have done this whole other thing where, like, he hits on her and, you know, they kiss or whatever. And
yeah, right.
I like that, you know, they still gave you hints at it, and you're kind of rooting for maybe there to be a little bit of a romance. Like, oh, you should go with this cool guy who's nice instead of Werner. And they didn't, like, I mean, obviously he helped her, but mm-hmm. it wasn't like, you know, his doing. Like, she still did it,
right.
And he just kind of supported her. And I really liked that aspect of it too, because with a lot of movies like this, and kind of sort of the similar rom-com type feel-good movies, there is a big aspect of romance involved in most of them. And I like that they did it a little bit differently in this one.
Yeah, yeah. I think one of my main takeaways is, I think going in, because they're older and they're like in college, you expect this to be like a rom-com vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's like what you probably are expecting going in, because that's just like the norm. But what it really is more is like coming of age movie. And recently on Twitter, I think there's been some calls for coming of age movies that don't have to do with 15 year olds and have to do with people that are a little older. Like, obviously still 23 is not very old, but at least they're in college. I don't know. I think it was really refreshing to see a coming of age movie with people that are a little bit older and farther along in their life and just show like, yeah, you don't have to have it all together when you're 15. You can come of age when you're any age. And like I said, even though 23 is still pretty young, it just was a big difference from, I think, even stuff that was coming out then with coming of age movies. Like, it was always about high schoolers and drama. And I think just bringing it to college really helped this one feel a lot fresher.
Yeah, I agree.
Trying to think, what about the dog, Bruiser?
Oh my gosh, we stan. He's so cute. He's such a good boy.
What's the other dog's name?
I don't know, the bulldog? Oh, he is such a good boy too. And then they want him back, and I was like, you go! You get that dog!
Yeah, I think that was really good. I think the Jennifer Coolidge character didn't totally work for me. Just because I felt like a lot of her stuff felt like it was almost a different movie. Hmm. Like, she was acting in, like, a different movie than the rest of them. And it's not like she isn't a good actress, but it just didn't feel like it fit as much with the tone. Especially, like, the bend and snap thing, which I know is an iconic thing, but it just didn't really work with the movie.
I love that scene.
I mean, and I like how it kind of, they bring it up again later, but it just... Some of the stuff with her did feel a little bit disattached because I personally liked a lot more of the stuff with her in school and then at the internship and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think they just needed some kind of outside source to kind of guide her, I guess.
Right. And well, I do like that it was, they did like break him up nicely. Like every time she kind of needed to make a breakthrough, it was like came to the nail salon and they talked it out. And
yeah.
That was nice. It was just maybe like the direction of the scenes felt a little bit different than the other scenes. But yeah, overall though, I really liked this one. It was really fun, even though like there's obviously so many things that just are like very implausible or just impossible. Like you can't do video for your admissions essay.
Especially not to Harvard Law School.
Not to Harvard Law School. You can't have a first year law student do a case. But even like with stuff like that, I think a movie is good when you really don't even think about that in the moment. It just works with the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what they did here. Like nothing felt like it couldn't have happened in the world the story was taking place in.
Yeah, I agree.
It was a fun movie.
I'm very so glad fun. You liked it.
Definitely like 4 stars. I think easily 4 stars for me.
Good. It's a 4-star movie for me too. Wow.
Wow. Wow.
We are right on track.
We are right on track. Yeah, I think that I will be probably watching this again in about a year. You know, it's like definitely like one of those movies, like you said, that it's pretty easy to watch. And there's a lot of like rewatchable moments, like the scene where the guy is getting rejected outside the school and she helps him with that. And then he looks really cool. Yeah. The only thing that didn't age well for me was the pool boy thing in court. That felt a little like early 90s material, a little bit stereotypical, but, you know, it's still 2001.
Look at Jerry Falwell. It still happens today.
Any other thoughts on this before we move on to our next movie?
No, I don't think I have any other thoughts. I'm just glad that you liked it, and I think it's a great feel-good comfort movie. Have a good time, pop some popcorn, just good vibes all around.
Just over 90 minutes, like barely over 90 minutes, like a perfect runtime.
Yeah.
It's great. Streaming on Netflix now, so go watch it if you feel so inclined. So let's go to an ad break, and then when we come back, we will be talking about my pick, which is Do the Right Thing.
And we're back.
So now we will be doing our second part of our cinema swap, which is the movie that I picked for Kayla to watch, which is Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing from 1989. Which is 12 years before Legally Blonde. So not too far.
Wow.
There's not really many comparisons I can make between the two to make like a nice transition. But I'll just jump into the summary quick, which again was taken from Google with edits by me to make it a little more interesting. It's the hottest day of summer in Brooklyn, New York. One of those days where you'll do anything just to keep cool. Despite this, Salvatore Sal... I don't know. How do you say his last name?
I don't know.
He owns Sal's Pizzeria, along with his two sons and Mookie. They're still at work delivering pizza to the neighborhood locals. While ordering some pizza, one of Sal's customers, Buggin' Out, becomes upset when he sees that the pizzeria's Wall of Fame exhibits only white Italian actors. Buggin' Out believes a pizzeria in a black neighborhood should showcase black actors, but Sal disagrees. The wall becomes a symbol of racism and hate to Buggin' Out and to other people in the neighborhood, and, as the day goes on, tensions rise. It's like I think I was saying before we started recording, it's hard to have like a full synopsis of this movie because it's one of those like all-in-one-day movies where it's just like the course of a day.
Yeah.
And it's like a big overarching story rather than like act one, two, or three. Even though I think there are pretty specific acts, it's not like it's following one character on like this journey that's being set up in the first act. Like it doesn't have a very basic structure like that.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so I wanted to pick this movie for a couple reasons. I first saw it in 2019, and then I wanted to watch it again last year, didn't get to it, and I only wanted to rewatch it in the summer as well. Like, that was something I was very clear on. I wanted to watch it in summer, and I wanted to watch it on a night that was hot, and I did both of those things. So I think I am winning. The first time, I don't remember where I watched it, was some rental, but then this one was the Criterion version, which I bought, and the transfer is so nice. It's very crisp, very summery, great cinematography, great vibes. But yeah, so first time I saw this, I loved it basically immediately. I loved it even more the second time I watched it, honestly. It's just one of those movies that, like, after you see it, I feel like you don't really stop thinking about, because there's just so many moments throughout the movie that you can like take one moment and then look at the movie from a different angle, basically, and take like a different thematic take on it, which I think is really interesting. So there's just a lot to like think about, process, and it's just one of those movies that just is like exactly what I want in a movie. I love all-in-one-day movies because I love like small events that can be contextualized and relate to like a bigger theme like that's going on in the world, you know, like, so take this one little event, but this is really like a microcosm for the country and for the issues that they were facing then and we're still facing now. So that's basically all I have to say to intro it. So why don't you give your thoughts and opinions?
Yes, I shall. So the reason that I had not seen this movie until now, it was just one of those things. It's one of those movies that I know, you know, maybe has some heavier themes. And so I feel like it's one that you want to watch when you have time to actually process through what the creator kind of wanted to say in it and what kind of message they wanted to give. And then, like you said, it's also one of those movies you want to watch in the summertime. Yes. So it's not like, you know, something I would necessarily want to throw on when it's snowing outside.
Yeah. Can you imagine? That would not be cool.
It wouldn't give the same vibes, you know?
No, for sure.
Yeah. So I watched it today. I thought it was good. I thought it was really creative, even just like, you know, themes aside, like production wise. I think he made a lot of creative artistic choices in the way certain characters were shot with certain angles to sort of tell the story as well or give it a more chaotic and excited vibe in the way that, like, a lot of the stuff was putting a lot of energy into the build-up of the tension of the story, mm-hmm. which I thought was interesting. It definitely stressed me out a lot. There was a lot of yelling, which was very chaotic for me. Like, it felt like all mm-hmm. the characters were just yelling all the time. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is too much. Like, the energy I needed to just bring it down a notch.
It's very intense. Yeah.
Because by the end, obviously, that I feel like that was probably my biggest complaint, is that I thought that the tension buildup was good, but I felt like a lot of it was already too tense at the beginning just because of how characters were like yelling, and their energy was so high from the very beginning. I wish it would have been the character energy buildup would have been a little more in the same line as the way it was shot and like building up tension around the themes. That like I felt like some of the characters were really high from the beginning. And it would have been, I guess, to me, more exciting to see the characters go high.
Start getting more angry,
agitated instead of being already agitated. So that was probably, like, my biggest complaint is because it just kept me agitated the whole time because they were just yelling a lot. That's an issue I have with, this is going to be a totally not even similar movie, but His Girl Friday with Cary Grant.
Oh, yeah, that movie is very
there's intense. A lot of fast-paced yelling in that, too. And I'm like, oh, I wish it just would be, like, it would get there. Like, instead, mm-hmm. like, it would be a, like, a slope.
That's interesting, because I have the same complaint with His Girl Friday, where they just talk so fast in that movie.
Oh, there's so much going on. It is so chaotic.
And it's like, I feel like it doesn't need to be that chaotic in the beginning, because the end is when, like, the actual stuff is happening that you want to see.
One thing I really felt with this, especially because the runtime is longer, it's hard to keep that level of engagement with, like, staying consistent with the energy of the characters that long of a movie, at least for me personally.
Yeah, I don't have that issue. I don't think I really, it's not really the yelling for me. It's more the fast-paced talking, which I don't think they talk too fast in this one, but they do yell a lot. I'm not bothered by yelling as much. I think I yell a lot when I talk. That's the way I talk. So that didn't bother me really, but I do know what you're saying with the other movie where, like, I know what that feeling is like.
Yeah.
So for this movie, I didn't get that feeling, but I do know, like, with that other comparison, what you're talking about. So I can understand that.
Yeah, but that, like, doesn't make me not like the movie, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that was just one of the things that was harder for me to, like, process the movie.
And it might be one of those things, like, I'm not saying it will be, but sometimes that happens with me where a movie, like, there's so much going on the first time I watch it. And then when I more know what I'm getting into going in the second time, and I know, like, what mood I need to be in to see it, I can, like, enjoy it a little bit more. Like, that's what happens for me with a lot of stuff. But it is very, like, intense. I mean, even, like, the cinematography is just bright and in your face. And you got Samuel L. Jackson right in the beginning. Oh, that's such a good shot. I love that part. But, yeah, there's just so many good moments in this movie that I remember that they just kind of blend together, but then you think about each separate moment and you're like, wow, that was a really good scene, and that was a really good scene, and you see how they all build up to, like, the final climactic moment at the end.
I also think, obviously, it's a very good movie. This isn't the usual kind of movie that I would, like, watch. Like, I'm not super into dramas like this.
This is, like, my favorite kind of movie. This
is, like, I know.
If I could have any of these movies, I would watch them just all the time. And I know, like, it's not for everyone, so that totally makes sense to me. Like, you can't have that level of emotional intensity all the time. Even for me, like, I say that I could watch a lot of these, but you do need to space them out, I think, with other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing I really liked about the characters was that they showed you a lot of, like, their similarities in certain aspects of their community, but how they also were very different in the way that they functioned within their community. Even with, like, Sal and his sons, like, they're all obviously very Italian and very loyal to their Italian blood and their pizza shop and their family and whatever. But they all, like, were so different from each other in the way that they functioned, you know, within the pizzeria and with the characters. And I thought the same with the Black characters as well, is that, like, you know, they each had their different little personality and kind of quirks and interests and what their role was in that day in kind of telling this story. But then they all, you know, and it shows in the end, come together in their community and are like, this is a very bad thing that just happened. So I thought that was interesting that within the two sort of versus sides, you know, the Black community and then the Sal in the pizza shop, was really interesting to see kind of the progression of those characters and their kind of differences, but how they both in the end fell in line with their communities themes, essentially.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. I think community is like the biggest theme in this movie, whatever community means, not like it has to mean it in a positive or negative light. Like it's just a community with all like the bad and good that are attached to that word. I think another aspect that sometimes even goes overlooked, I think, is the Korean family that opened the grocery store or the shop. I think that also adds a really interesting element, especially in this scene when, like, the big climactic scene, when they're trying to, like, get them to not destroy their shop. And I think, like, you have also, obviously, with, like, the old guy sitting on the corner, like, just heckling at everyone, you have their little speech about that. It's very, like, almost like little plays, because there's a lot of like just little scenes, like the scene with the car, the convertible getting soaked. I like that scene a lot. And they're all very well like set up, where you have your like the shot that establishes basically the area that the scene is going to take place in. And then you have the characters, and then you kind of have the scene just play out from there with, I think, the what I was saying with the old men, all those scenes, I think, are very, like, play-esque.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be a good play.
I think it would be a very interesting play. It'd be hard, though. One thing, because I like about this movie is how on location it was. I think it was shot pretty much all on, like, one street. But even if it wasn't, like, even if it had some sets, which I assume it did, it feels very all connected in, like, this one big block. So that is one thing I don't know if a play could fully capture, is just like the real scope of this town, and you feel like you've kind of been everywhere by the end of it, and you know like everyone in it. So that is one thing that I do like about the movie that I don't know if a play could replicate, because it is very scene, which can get pretty tiresome. I've seen some movies do that, but I think he does a good job of having a bunch of varied sets and locations to make it not feel so like, all right, we're going to point a camera and now these people will talk and then we'll go do it again in another place.
Yeah. Yeah. This is one of those movies that like I really liked, obviously, but I don't know that it's one that I'll revisit, but I think it's one that is really important for people to watch. Like not just in the film community. Like I think it is an important movie to watch, like if you're into film and stuff. But I also think it's an important movie and shows a good perspective for people who aren't as into film, but just in the general population, because it does carry a lot of the same, you know, things that have been going on since then, but especially have been more relevant in the news and in people's minds in the past, you know, year and a half or so.
Yeah, and I think it's very watchable. Like, it's not like an art house movie where you couldn't get into it if you're not like into film. I think there's a lot of visual aspects, the music, obviously, the characters I think are very entertaining, the dialogue is interesting. So I think there are aspects that it's like if you just showed it to someone, they wouldn't like just walk out because like, oh, this isn't for me, this isn't the kind of movie I like. I think it's very, I don't think popcorn is the right word, but I think it's very like does a good job of being mainstream in the right way, because it is accessible to watch, I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Which is something that Spike Lee isn't always good at, is finding a way to take all of his really creative ideas and making it come across in a way that can be digested to like a mainstream audience. There's just sometimes where his movies just feel a little bit disjointed because there's just sometimes creative choices that don't always flow together. And especially if you're not used to watching movies like that, it feels like a big turnoff because it's like, this isn't really watchable. I don't have too much to say about this. Like, obviously there's so much to say, but I don't know like how much I really want to say about it. I think it's probably better if people just watch it and draw their own conclusions. I really like how this movie is very not open-ended, but it's not a very heavy-handed, like, one message only kind of thing. Where I think, again, with Spike Lee, I think sometimes his movies can feel a little bit like he has a message and this is the message he's trying to send. and this is the only message that you can get from this, like kind of beating you over the head with it, even if it's a good message. I think sometimes that can come across as like just not as interesting to watch. And I think this movie does a really good job of just showing you events that are happening and letting you like figure out what you feel about them, you know?
Yeah, it's like a lot of different vignettes that sort of throughout this day in this community that kind of come together in the end with like the same underlying themes. So like you said, the scene with the convertible, which obviously is a fantastic scene, but kind of shows you this guy's racist aggressions and gives you introductions to kind of the cops and their racial prejudice. And then, you know, the scene with the guy in the bike and he scuffed the guy's shoe. You know, you're seeing these little different, or the kid almost getting hit by the car. Like, you're seeing sort of vignettes of these different aspects of the community come into play with different characters. And each of those different little things has its own themes, but still carries this kind of underlying theme. So I think it's definitely something that, like, you have to watch yourself to really take in all the different things that come along with the plot and the way that this movie tries to tell its own story, you know?
Which is why I think for, like, at least for me, I think probably for you too, it feels hard to talk too much about the messages of the movie because you have to really be inferring a lot of things because, like I said, it's not one specific message. And I think it's better for the viewer to watch the movie and see the vision that he's putting forth and to figure out what he's trying to say for themselves.
Yeah.
And I really like the ending of having those two quotes side by side and like just getting you to think about the juxtaposition between the two quotes and what each of them were trying to say and then what that picture means, like what Spike's trying to say with that picture and having those two quotes together. It's just real, a lot of things just think about. I think is the best kind of movies when the best kind of movies that are trying to like have a really deep theme is just movies that give you a lot to chew on and that don't like give you the message on a plate. Like you have to dig for it, not in a bad way. You have to look through everything, figure out what you think it means. This is one of my favorites. It made its way onto my top 10 list. It's number 10. And yeah, it's basically, like I said, like the kind of movie that I like. Like everything I like in movies is basically in the movie. So that's why I wanted to pick it. And I think it was a good choice because, like you said, we had Legally Blonde, which was a fun coming of age legal time. and then we had this, which was like, it's like calling it a summer movie feels weird, but it is like...
It is a summer.
In some ways, a summer movie.
Yeah, it feels like a summer movie.
But not in the way where, like, Jaws is a summer movie.
Yeah.
So, very interesting.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah, I would give this one probably 4 stars on a first-time watch.
Yeah, there's so much to process.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and I do think it's a really good movie. But like I said, it's just not the kind of movie that I normally am, like, super into, just, like, drama-wise and the pace of it and everything. But yeah, it is a really good movie, and I definitely would recommend it to anyone who hasn't seen it.
It's on Prime right now, and that's another reason I picked it, because it's so rarely on streaming, I think, because it's like his biggest movie. And so I would definitely take advantage
of it. It's also on Peacock. That's where I watched it.
Oh, wow. Was there ads?
It had like a 3-minute or like something ads at the very beginning. Oh,
those are the best. Yeah, I love
and
when they
so
do that.
I just, you know, sat on my phone while the 3 minutes of ads rolled through and then I watched, you know, the rest. And most of the ads were like Olympics anyway, so.
Right. Yeah, we don't even have to keep this in, but I have been with the Criterion. They have like a pretty thick booklet and it's mostly his shooting diary. Like it's basically from him writing the script all the way like till... I don't know how far it goes, but it's like pretty thick. And it's really interesting to read his thought process of like how he wanted the movie to come and like see some things that he didn't keep and then how he turned that into maybe something else. Yeah, he's a really cool guy.
Yeah,
just
cool.
He's very, very fun to read his writing.
Yeah, he's a fun dude.
Yeah. We should do a Spike Lee episode. I mean, he has so many movies,
yeah,
we couldn't rank them, but we could do like a top five or something. Yeah. Definitely one of my favorite directors. Yeah, so that's all I have for thoughts.
All I've got.
All right, so just to wrap things up, if you have thoughts on either of the two movies or anything we said, you can email us at secondhandfilmcritics@gmail.com, and maybe we'll read your comments in our next episode, which is...
It's a biggie.
It is.
It's our Summer of Star Wars, episode number 4. It's not quite our final episode. Hint, hint, hint. Yeah. But we will be wrapping up kind of this year, like not this year, but like watching the final movies of the series.
Watching the actual films.
So the spinoff, so Solo, Rogue One, we'll be talking about some of the shows, Mandalorian, Clone Wars, The Bad Batch, maybe about the future of Star Wars and... Lego Star Wars. Yeah. I don't know. All the things that come out of Star
Just
Wars.
All things. Who knows?
And we'll be having a pretty awesome guest, Gabby from the Miss Marvel podcast, who I found on TikTok. Can you believe that? Our first TikTok
Look at this
guest.
Networking.
No, she's really cool, though. She's into, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the Star Wars universe.
All the universes.
All the nerdy
human
things
universe.
We love.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to have her on, and hopefully she can help give, like, a better perspective on some of the spinoffs, because I definitely have not seen everything connected with Star Wars. So, yeah, I hope she can provide a nice perspective with that. Where can they find us online if they want to?
Everywhere. Just kidding.
That sounds so ominous.
We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can search Secondhand Film Critics and we'll come up, and you can, you know, see our occasional posts, occasional retweets. I keep saying we're going to post more things and then it just never happens. So,
you know, it will happen one day.
We'll get around to
it. We'll make a comeback. Yeah. So anything else before we head out?
No.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. And until next time, I'm Noah.
And I'm Kayla.
And we're your secondhand film critics.